security. Guiding you through online threats, we'll aid you in understanding safety protocols and trends. Meet our gurus, Brian from ExactIT, Reginald from ArcSolvers, and Randy from TechRescue. Together, we'll delve into current events and hot cybersecurity topics, helping you comprehend their impact. Stay informed, stay secure. Security Squawk, the business of cybersecurity. Buckle up, let's dive in.
Hey-o, we're diving in. Here we go. What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Security Squawk podcast. As our announcer so rightfully said, the gurus are here, Randy, Andre, and Brian. We're going to talk about a lot, guys. We got a lot to get through in a little bit of time, so I'm going to cut right into it. Just remember, we do the show out of the goodness of our heart, so if you could help us by spreading the word about Security Squawk by doing simple things like commenting while you're watching us or listening to us, sharing us on your favorite platforms, whether it's a social media platform or a podcasting platform, or on those podcasting platforms, leaving us a 5-star review with some context as to why this is a worthwhile podcast. We certainly appreciate it. So without further ado, guys, let's jump into it. The biggest news and probably what some are considering in the healthcare industry, the Colonial Pipeline, or their Colonial Pipeline, so to speak. We have this Change Healthcare issue. Change Healthcare is a subsidiary of United Healthcare. But the interesting thing is this is more of a tech company than a health company, right? At the end of the day. And this company is a major cog in the wheel in the healthcare industry for sending, you know, things electronically. And there's two major things that this software does that's critically important in the healthcare world. One is they help get prescriptions from your doctor over to pharmacies. So when this first kind of hit the news, a lot of people were like going to Google, going to pharmacy hack of 2024, you know, and calling it like the pharmacy hack. Because, you know, just like we saw with the MGM hack, when the every normal everyday person gets impacted by a cyber attack, they run to the internet to find out what's going on, right? So they're trying to figure out, like, why can't they get their pharmacy? Like, they went to their pharmacist. Their pharmacist said, sorry, can't fill your prescription because our systems are down because of a hack or a cyber attack. So then you start seeing people search for things on Google. So it kind of first started out as that, as like the pharmacy hack. But then we learn that it's this tech company, right? And what this company also does, and the bigger impact I think that this particular attack has on our whole system in general, is the fact that this is also the system that your doctors use to bill your insurance.
Yep.
And we've seen reports of many small doctor's offices struggling from a lot of different standpoints. And we're going to talk about that right now. So, Randy, what are you seeing in your world when it comes to the Change hack and how it's impacting medical offices around the country?
I mean, you pretty much just nailed it right there. The two big things, and it's exactly like you described it. Initially, it was the big pain in having to write out manual prescriptions again, not being able to send them electronically to, you know, to the pharmacy, not being able to, you know, having to basically rip out the prescription pads and write them. But then what we're seeing now on the back end of this, which I think is more disturbing, because most offices just dug around somewhere, found the old prescription pads, and just started writing them by hand. But it's the back end that's extremely disturbing, and that's the lack of payments coming in. So, you know, these offices, both doctors, dentists, all kinds of medical offices, they obviously, like any business, they rely on that money coming in. That's how they pay their employees. That's how they pay their bills. That's how they keep, you know, the lights turned on. And seeing a lag and like no payments coming at all through this system. And the scary part of that is we all know that most businesses can't handle like 1 week or 2 weeks, even especially 3 weeks of no income coming in at all, or a giant chunk of their income disappeared. I talked to a frantic doctor just yesterday or day before yesterday that was, she was looking at opening up a line of credit with the bank just so they had funds to keep their business running until the situation with Change Healthcare gets cleared up. That's what we're going to see. That's the big back end of all this.
Yeah. Andre, what are you seeing out there?
Yeah, so there's some reports that they did pay the ransomware. Apparently, they saw about $22 million go through the wire through Bitcoin. So there's some rumors that they did pay. But I think it's been like 9 days now. So not sure if they're still going through that process or even if it was still them, even if it was them.
So we'll jump into like the backside of this. We'll kind of clue people in on like the dark side of the dark web and this whole web of criminals working together to exploit businesses. Because there's an interesting little twist to this particular cyber attack, which it kind of sucks that it's such a big cyber attack and this whole back end like soap opera is going on between cyber criminals. And we're going to clue everybody in on what's going on with the cyber criminals on that side of the hack here in a few minutes. But yeah, as you said, the impact to the U.S. healthcare system, Randy, it's opened my eyes because you said it, and you're right because I've heard it too. There's a lot of small doctors' practices that are struggling to do things like make payroll. So when I heard that, I was like, man, like our healthcare system really is almost a house of cards in a way. If, you know, it's like we talk about all the time, like the people that live paycheck to paycheck. It's almost like some of these doctor's offices are living paycheck to paycheck, right? If you're talking like a 2 week, think about this, folks. And this is why we do this show and why we serve the clients that we serve and the services that we offer for businesses, because we know if you plan for this stuff, you can withstand this stuff. But businesses fail to plan. And when you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Right? And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a bunch of doctor's offices that thought this could never happen to them. Maybe it's opened their eyes a little bit to the vulnerabilities that they actually do have in their business. And now they're going to, you know, it's a close enough call with going out of business that's going to make them really rethink what they work on every day. And I'm talking about at least having some kind of incident response plan in your business, right? That's the main driver here. That's the main thing that we're seeing lacking with these small businesses, because they have no idea what to do. And that's an issue. You hired a vendor. You've outsourced a particular function in your business that's critical, which is basically your accounts receivable. There's other functions that happen in your business that you know, Change Healthcare provides for you as well. I know this, but let's just take the easy one, getting the money in the door, the accounts receivable. You've outsourced that to a third-party company, and you have no backup if that company goes down and out.
Right.
And that's the world you're living in right now, right?
Yep.
So, you know, that's the crux and that's the moral of the story. And that's what, unfortunately, these small businesses, through no fault of their own, are dealing with a cyber attack through a third party vendor. That's why third party risk has been kind of like the buzzword the last year and a half. You're going to start seeing it more in your cyber insurance applications. You don't think after this attack, HIPAA is now going to take a look at third party risk, which they already do, but more in greater detail, that each entity is going to have to do more than maybe just sign a business associate agreement. There's all kinds of things that are going to come as a result of this attack, and more regulation is going to definitely be one of those outcomes. Thoughts?
So I'm wondering, so what does a business need to do to be prepared for this? Because you can't really have your own, I mean, your own like payment provider through back through insurance. I mean, you're going to have something there. You're probably going to have to use something like Change Healthcare. So what things can we do on the front end to be prepared for this? And I'm saying, let's even assume that they're cyber prepared, you know, and I'm starting to think here, okay, cyber insurance, you want to have that in place. Probably ought to have a line of credit opened up with your local bank before you get in a situation like this, you know, use it every once in a while, a little bit, and pay it off right away. But that way that you have it, what are some other things y'all think that like businesses should do moving forward in light of this?
I mean, for whatever, I mean, I'm not the type of person who's going to sit here on the podcast and give like specific tactical things that you need to do. But ultimately, like, it all goes back to me, like when I think of this, the first one that I think of that had such a major impact, like I believe this has, is the Kronos one, right? Where companies couldn't run payroll for 3 months, right? So, you know, it's easy to sit there and say, well, what do we do? Have a backup payroll provider? Well, that's one choice. Another choice is you just have a system and process defined and somebody's trained on, like somebody in your accounting department, to cut checks to employees. They know how to run payroll manually, mm-hmm. right? This is what you have to do, or this is what we're going to do. Maybe we're not going to get the payroll numbers right to the T, but we're going to pay employees 70% and we're going to withhold 30. And then once the system's back up and running, we'll reconcile everything. Mm-hmm. Those are all different strategies. But the problem is, Randy, for me, these companies aren't thinking about this stuff at all. They're coming in, they're servicing their patients, they're doing what they need to do, and nobody's sitting them down and saying, like, hey, have you taken a look at like how you run your business? And if one critical function is not available to you, what does that mean? And as we know, these doctor's offices are learning what this little software that they bought means to their business.
Yep.
Right. So I would just say, take a look at the important things in your business, right? What, if you're using software, if you're using an outside supplier, vendor, cloud service, I mean, look, what happens if your email goes down? Let's just go there, right? What happens if Microsoft has a major issue, just like Facebook and Instagram did earlier in the week, and you thought the world was going to end? Microsoft could have a problem, and you don't have access to your email unless you went ahead and thought about, well, if Microsoft has a problem, what are we going to have in place? So having some kind of email continuity system already in place in the event that Microsoft goes out is probably a smart idea if your company really needs email. So,
and the one entity that's not going to help you is the federal government. I just checked Biden's State of the Union script yesterday, his transcript, and not one word was about cyber.
Well, cyber's not cool. Yikes, man. Cyber's not cool anymore, although it is going to become cool again, believe me. You know, AI's kind of like punch cyber in the face a little bit, and I think that that's a huge miscalculation by human beings. Don't get me wrong. I think AI will be a great thing, but businesses that are sacrificing dollars for AI over cybersecurity, I think you're going to find yourself in a little bit of trouble one day. So let's just get on the back end of this story and touch on it. I don't want to go too deep into it because it does kind of, you know, err on the nerdy side of things. But when you have a ransomware attack, right? We have, you get a note on your system that says, hey, contact us here, right? And it's usually a dark website. So then you got to know how to, you know, get on the dark web. I'm not going to go into it. If you want to, you can go on my YouTube channel and you can go see how to do the dark web stuff. But at the end of the day, you got to go to the dark web and you got to start communicating with these guys. And you got to start negotiating things if you want, like your ransomware payment and stuff like that. And, the dark web is also where they kind of advertise like, hey, we got you. And the other thing that you should know is that like this whole cyber criminal network that does ransomware, there's different groups that kind of work together. They outsource too, right? And they outsource breaking into people's networks. So they pay other people, you know, an affiliate fee or commission. So when they get paid, like they did in this case, purportedly $22 million, as Andre mentioned, that $22 million, sometimes it's like 60 to 90% commission that the people who broke in get from the ransomware operators. And what happened here was, you know, and it's called ransomware as a service, and they do everything soup to nuts. You just got to get into the network, and then you tell them, hey, I'm in this network, and they deploy the ransom, they collect the money, they do kind of do everything. And for the most part, it's a pretty like honor system type relationship, like in the same way that, you know, businesses are on the honor system, that they're actually going to get their data back from the cyber criminals when they pay these ransoms. And then the same thing is, you know, it's on the honor system that we won't release your data now that you've paid us. That's all on the honor system. And so are these relationships between cyber criminals and their affiliates. So what happened here was the $22 million got paid. And immediately after they got paid, well, a couple of days later, the affiliate who broke into Change Healthcare's network wanted to get their cut. And what happened was is the cyber criminals basically cut off their access to communicating with them. And shortly thereafter, they put on their dark web leak sites the same image that you would see if the FBI or the CIA or somebody seized your website. It was like all their logos, and it says this site has been seized by, you know, authorities, which led people to believe that right after they got the 22 million that the FBI took them down. Well, come to find out, the FBI hasn't taken them down. So it's believed that these ransomware actors put up a fake image to make it seem like they were taken down. And it seems like the affiliates who broke into Change Healthcare Networks are not going to get their cut of the ransom, which is crazy. It really does kind of like draw a line in the sand, and it makes you wonder. But more than likely what's going to happen is that this group is going to fold with this name, and they're going to crop up as a different name group. And then I guess the only other, you know, interesting little tidbit to what we know about this whole thing that's going on the dark web with this group is simply that they are just cutting off communication with everyone, which after a big ransomware payment, this is typical behavior, folks. Like, we cover ransomware attacks on this channel all the time. And a lot of times after a big multi-million dollar ransomware payment, they scatter like cockroaches when the lights go on. And that's exactly what's happening here, but they'll be back.
They're going to go to a party and spend some of that money.
Oh yeah. Right. Got to go buy some yachts in the Black Sea. You know what I mean? Anything else you guys want to add there before we kind of blow through the rest of the show here?
So my question was the 22 million.
Yeah.
It looks like that's not making it back to the people that have the decryption code. Is that basically the gist of it? So they paid the ransom. Is the data not getting decrypted so they can
get it back? No, I think they gave the decryption code to the people who paid. It's just the affiliates who broke into the network. They want their cut, and they're not going to get it now from what it seems.
So that's the troubles are not ending anytime soon.
Yeah, and the other interesting thing of it is that the people who broke in claim they also have the data that was exfiltrated.
Wow.
So you know, from United Healthcare standpoint, you paid criminals, which is obviously dumb, to not release the data, but the criminals are not the only criminals who have the data in their possession. But like I've said a million times, once that data leaves your network, you can't trust that who has that at that point, right? So, you know, it's not like It's not like these cyber criminals are operating their data centers at a SOC 2 certified facilities. I mean,
right.
You know, you could probably walk into somebody's like hut and like take the servers. So am I being too harsh today?
So wouldn't be surprised if these affiliates go back and ask for some, you know, hey, we need another we need a million for ourselves and we won't, you know, release it or whatever, right?
Yeah, but they probably have the decryptor already.
But they have the data still, so they may. Yeah.
I mean, you can't be paying. I mean, for me, look, if you need, look, here's where I'm at with ransomware payments. If you need to pay the ransom because you don't have any other way of getting your data back, then you need to consider paying the ransom. But at the end of the day, if you're paying people to not release data, you're wasting your money. Because you don't know where that data has been, where it's been copied to. You have no, once it leaves your network, you no longer have control, and you might as well assume it's going to get out there. So to pay to not have a particular criminal group release it is asinine to me.
Especially if it's your client's, as it sounds, especially if it's client data, where it's not like your stuff, your internal stuff anyways, right?
Right. So, all right. All good on that one? Let's move on. Because this Duvel, this brewery, my goodness, one of the largest ones in the world, I think, right? Duvel Morgat Brewery, known for its Belgian beers like the strong and fruity Golden Pale Ale, was hit by a ransomware attack that stopped beer production. Oh, God. Automated threat detection systems flagged the ransomware, leading to an immediate halt in production with an uncertain restart date. Despite the disruption, the company reassured that distribution wouldn't be impacted due to ample stock. Warm beer. The Stormisk ransomware group later claimed responsibility, threatening to leak 88 gigabytes of stolen data unless the ransom is paid. Thoughts, guys?
Well, kind of a funny side note. This reminds me of the episode in The Simpsons where all the Laramie cigarettes going to town were stolen and everybody was freaking out because there were no Laramie cigarettes. And I think people on Reddit are having similar kind of jokes, like declaring it a national emergency and wanting to know how much beer there actually is available in stock. But that, all kidding aside, it goes back to what we were talking about just a little while ago. You know, every business, you have a product, you have sales, you have money comes in, you pay the bills, and it's a cycle. And if that gets disrupted, then you're in deep doo-doo regardless. And so, yes, they probably have a bunch of beer sitting around, which is all fine and dandy, but are they going to get their, you know, breweries back online, back into production? You know, can they really handle that disruption in income? That's going to be the thing to see.
Yep. Then you have people like Randy go stock up, and then now all of a sudden there's a toilet tissue shortage, you know, that type of thing too.
Hey, we only did that for COVID in January of 2020. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see where this one goes. I mean, I was a little intrigued in the article where it said that the automated threat detection system flagged the ransomware, but they still ended up getting hit pretty hard, it seems. So that's a little interesting to me to understand what the automated threat detection system actually was and why it didn't do a better job of preventing that thing. So
didn't it say like 1 a.m. or 1:30 a.m?
To have to do with anything.
Well, maybe it was an alert and everybody's sleeping.
That's horrible. That's not an automated threat detection system then. That means somebody had to do something.
Right.
I mean, I guess automated detection, but not response, right? I don't know.
Right. But 1:30. It was 1:30 last night.
Alarms went off. I mean, I guess that's a good point, right? People have to understand, yeah, there's a lot of tools out there that can help you. And there's a lot of people touting a lot of things, right? And you have to understand that there are tools out there called automated threat detection systems, and they will automatically detect threats and alert people, but they won't do anything else but alert people. Right. And you have to understand like what you're buying, like, what is it do you any good if you don't have somebody available at 1 o'clock in the morning to respond to that alert, right? It doesn't. You need somebody to respond to that alert almost instantaneously if you want to mitigate the blast radius. And investing in a threat detection system where somebody's not going to check it until 8:30 on Monday morning is not the most ideal type of system, right? And that's, you know, it may seem elementary or basic what I'm saying to you, but a lot of people don't understand this. So I figured it's, you know, one of those things that you should probably point out and mention. That, yeah, you can detect things, you can look for things. It's kind of like having an alarm system in your house, but not having it connected to the police,
mm-hmm.
right? Somebody breaks in your house, yeah, the alarm's going off, but who's responding to it, right?
Yeah.
So, all right, so let's move right along. This is an interesting one, guys. Business email compromise campaign in our U.S. government. There's this hacking group identified as TA4903, and they've been impersonating U.S. government entities in a sophisticated business email compromise campaign. And what it's doing is tricking individuals into opening malicious emails and files linked to fake bidding processes. So an analysis revealed that the group has been active since 2019, with activities ramping up as of mid-2023. They're using QR codes embedded inside of PDFs to redirect victims to phishing sites that are made to look like .gov sites. Operations suggest a financially motivated agenda focusing on unauthorized access to commit financial fraud. The group's tactics highlight the importance of comprehensive security measures to counter such multifaceted threats. All right, let's hear it from the gurus. What do you do here?
Well, I have personally never seen an email, not even come from the government, but with a QR code. Because then that's weird. You get the email.
I got one like last week.
Was it phishing or was it legit?
It was actually for, I wanted to check it out, so I put it in a sandbox. But it was an email that came in from just like a random email address, but it was like, this is your Exact IT Solutions benefits enrollment. Like, it's time to enroll in your benefits. And number one, we would never send an email with that because we have a totally different system for that. So would never come through email. Number two, I think it only came to me. I don't think anyone else in our company got it. At least I didn't hear reports of it. Yeah, but as soon as I opened up the PDF, it was a QR code. It was like, scan this QR code to go to the portal and elect your benefits.
Yeah, so they're just doing it to, I guess, bypass the spam filters?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, because there's no link now, right? The link's embedded in the QR. So that's the cat and mouse game that we always talk about, right, guys? Now the filters and you know, the proof points of the world, you got to build some technology to scan QR codes to see if it's malicious, to see if it leads to a malicious place.
But so you did have to pull out your phone to scan it. You couldn't. There's no way on your computer you could have went to the site, correct? In your
I didn't go that far. Just opened the document to see what it was, and then. Yeah, we didn't like click on it or you know, go too much deeper than that.
The thing is, though, a QR code is an image, and your like Outlook by default ought to block all images, right? So that at least would keep.
Well, it's a PDF file. It was a PDF file.
I mean, same difference. I mean,
right? How the heck are you going to block PDF files? I mean,
I guess that would get through. You know, my big,
I got to do business. I can't be blocking everything.
My big concern here, you know, everything that's enticing, salacious, you know, a need, like everything along those lines, people are more likely to click on. And this one hits at the heart of businesses and agencies that make money from the government, because it's coming out in the form of a bid. And makes it extra hard on the filters to stop it, because they get bids all day long. And y'all know, if you deal with, you know, any organization that gets bids, you got to tweak the email settings anyway, just to allow a lot of those through, because they all have PDFs attached, and yes, they have links in there. And I mean, This is a, I was also thinking of an organization, I can't really go into details, but that came to us hacked. They are, you know, potentially working with the government on things. They turned down our services. They were the first one I thought of, man, because this
Area 51 contacted you guys?
Yeah, exactly. This is probably how they got hacked. No, we verified they were real. So that's funny. But bottom line, this is a, man, this, whoever, probably AI thought this up, but whoever thought up this attack, man, you're hitting right where you can make the most impact with these types of agencies and businesses that deal with the government.
All right. Andre, all good? Cool. All right, moving right along. We have a file this under, I consider this a pretty big deal, but you're not going to find anything about this on the internet. So, because we search for articles and there aren't any, I've done my own YouTube video about this. But again, A, what I'm saying is illustrates, and we kind of got into a little discussion in our green room about like the ransomware attacks that nobody knows about. And I was kind of showing Randy and Andre, I went on the dark web and I was kind of showing them like, hey, look at this dark web leak site. Look at this dark web leak site. Look at this company. Look at this company in the last month has six companies, or this dark web leak site has six companies listed. You hear nothing about these companies in the news. Now, they're not very big companies, but they're still companies. And these are like, you know, small or mid-market businesses. They're not doing like 500,000 in revenue, but they're doing 10 million, 20 million, 40 million, 50 million. They're not a big company like Ward. But Ward, just because of the role that they play in transportation, getting, you know, they're less than a truckload company. So basically, you know, you order something from Wayfair, it's not coming on a UPS truck. It's coming on like one of those little box trucks. And there's like two or three guys that like jump out of the truck and like put it on your porch or take it in your house. That's essentially what Ward is. They're less than a truckload, right? And people are expecting deliveries. And I picked up on this ransomware attack because I saw people searching for Ward customer service on Google Trends, and it was trending. And I'm like, what's going on here? And I kind of stumbled onto this like ransomware attack. And I was like, oh, and there were, at the time I was researching, there was a on Dragon Force's dark web leaks, like Ward was listed, and they've since been not, they're gone now. They're not there anymore. So that tells you that they more than likely are negotiating or paid the ransom. But that's the little tidbit about it. I mean, they were attacked with ransomware. I think we found a video from their CEO on LinkedIn who is doing his best to be as transparent as possible about the situation, but it's clear they're working with, you know, the right people to handle the situation properly and release the correct information when necessary. And that's kind of where it's at, guys. So what are your thoughts on this whole Ward Trucking ransomware attack?
You're not too small to get hacked. You're just too small to make the news.
Yep.
It's true.
And that's literally what's happened here is they've not made the news. And
this company is not too small, to be honest with you.
Right. Have you, do you often watch Google Trends for that very reason? I never really thought about that for getting alerted to cyber attacks.
I use Google. So obviously I have my YouTube channel, right? And I do a lot of research just to be able to talk about current events. And, you know, one of the things I have kind of learned over the years to look for since I've been doing my YouTube channels is to search Google News and search Google Trends. And you start to pick up on things, right? You start to see like, why is somebody searching for this? Now I did type in like cyber attack. And one of the things that came up as a suggested search was Ward customer service. And I was like, why is that there?
Right.
And then I kept just searching and searching. And then I was able to stumble upon some things, you know, that indicated that they were dealing with something. So
interesting.
You know, that's really it. So anything else, guys, you want to talk about before we wrap up?
Well, going back to this story, just, you know, it's kind of been the theme today, the whole disruption of income. That's going to be a big thing to watch here, because this is how they make their money.
Well, so that's gonna be not only that, you're dead on about what you're saying, but dude, like, we haven't even seen the lawsuits hit change.
Right.
I mean, we're going to be talking about that for the next 6 months. Think about all the doctor's offices who are going to, you know, hire lawyers, and the lawyers are just going to say, because of your cyber attack, this is the impact to my client. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's, you know, and we can only imagine what those stories are going to sound like.
And patients.
That too.
Yeah. I couldn't get my prescription, and now my condition got worse.
100%.
And then also I did want to do a little bit of a tiny little shout out is that they are putting out daily press releases, getting people updated on the situation, which I think is great, to be transparent like that. Hopefully they're talking to their lawyers before they get out there and talk, though. Because you can literally call it you call it maybe ransomware, and you could, you know, you may open yourself up to extra stuff instead of calling it an encryption event. You know what I mean? So talk to your lawyer first before you get out there and talk to the public.
All right, guys. That's all I got time for. All good? Everybody, you got any last words, Andre? You're all good?
Yep, I'm all good.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate your inputs. We'll see everybody next week on the next episode. Take care. Stay safe out there.
Take care.